asylum. For a terrifying new tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
Live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com and BTRSF.com, it's the Asylum Fantasy Football Show.
We are Flagrant Breggs. Welcome into the Asylum, and we are finally back in the cozy bunker studio with our fireside podcast.
Finally back, cuddling around the fire. I soldiered through the pain, through the misery, into this bunker, into this hole that we do the show in Rick Briggs' basement, for any of you who thinks we're in some palatial estate in New York City.
Yes, geez, bring us some more champagne. I watched you come in.
Are you going to finish the opening, or are you just going to bust my chops right off the top?
We have been
at Asylum Football on Twitter.
At his place for, what, 2 months now?
Oh, at least.
You saw him gimping across the yard. I mean, I swear that he was in a car wreck yesterday. I never saw anyone take so long to heal for such an athlete and that self-proclaimed athlete.
I am an athlete of note. That
and
is true.
This Adonis that he seems to think is. He can't even move.
Well, this is a serious injury, Rick. I mean, only Adrian Peterson has recovered better than I. That's saying something right there. He may have done a little faster, but I'm going. I fought through, happy to be back in the studio. Got a little tired of just sitting on my couch because I couldn't navigate stairs. Because the couch, you see, it reclines, and is a noted geriatric.
My grandfather recovered better than you, and he's dead.
He did not. So he recovered from death, is what you're telling me? This may be bigger news.
Anyway, drop us a line, asylumfootball@gmail.com.
It might be a little bit late for that, but on Twitter, @AsylumFootball. And listen, if you're not following, do it, because if you don't or if you stop following us, Rick will call you out on Twitter, as he did over the weekend.
And we have got a lot going on.
That's
I'll tell
not
you
true.
What.
There's really not a lot
there's a
going
lot
on.
Going on.
No.
There's
but
a,
before
there's
that,
some headlines. Rick, fantasy right. is right around the corner.
Before we get into fantasy football, uh-oh. Here's something you don't know. Today is a holiday. It's a national holiday. You don't know what day it is, Rick. You have no idea.
Well, what is it?
Well, I'm going to give you a hint. Today is the National Chicken Dance Day here in the United States, Rick. How about that? Well, sit down. You don't have to do the dance. This is radio.
What?
They can't see you.
What the hell is that?
What do you mean? It's the chicken dance. You know what the chicken dance is?
No.
You've never been to a wedding? You
no.
know what the chicken dance is.
I've heard of the funky chicken, but that was like some 50s thing I thought. National Chicken Day.
National Chicken Dance Day.
Oh,
you do the dance. We got the hand, and you do the wings, and then you shake your ass. I don't think you say that on WSRU. I'm sorry. We'll bleep that out.
Yay.
But National Chicken Dance Day, Rick. Well, that makes me think. There's a day for everything. You know, if you got some disease, you got a day for that. If you're some hippie environmentalist, you got a day for that. Everybody's got a day. When is it going to be National AsylumFantasyFootball.com Day? That's what who do you have to talk to for this? Is there a czar? Is there a cabinet position? Who do we talk to get our day?
I don't
look, Rick, actually the chicken's doing the dance.
Number
you
one,
see that? There's
yeah,
the chicken
that.
Dance.
He's
see,
doing a nice dance here. I don't know. I guess number one, you have to have I don't know. You have to have guts enough to ask somebody to have a chicken day or chicken dance day.
Exactly. And if there could be a chicken dance day, I think there can be an Asylum Fantasy Football Day, as the millions and millions of our listeners would be happy to stand up for us and sign that petition.
Oh,
I don't know who to mail it to.
Obviously someone at the government.
Well, it's a pretty big government. I don't think we can just address it to government
Maybe they have a national holiday department.
Yeah.
You know, like Department of Revenue or something.
If you know, hit us up on Twitter, at Asylum Football on Twitter, and let us know, or we can send that. All right, Rick. Well, I guess let's move on to the seven listeners we have left of this show. Might want to hear a little bit about football in general, fantasy football specifically. Want to talk a little golf later, actually, just real briefly. The tournament over the weekend interested me, and since there's not a lot going on, we'll just spend 5 or 10 minutes on that. As somebody like you has rubbed elbows with most of golf's greats and worked a lot on the courses, just a few things I want to talk about there. But let's start with the football headlines. First and foremost, probably the closest to having any fantasy football value at all, is Felix Jones signing a one-year deal with the Eagles this year. Yeah, again, to steal from PTI, big deal, little deal, or no deal at all?
Oh, if you're into handcuffing, how is that going to affect Bryce Brown? Maybe in my eyes. Of course, it kind of hits on another story of minor when LeSean McCoy sued for assault. I don't know what's going to happen with that. Apparently,
he was on a party bus. Of course, something happened.
Yeah,
on the
threw
party
some
bus.
Girl out or something. I don't know. Nothing's going to happen with it. But I mean,
probably getting lippy.
As far as that goes, it's little news. I mean, Felix Jones has been irrelevant the last couple of years, except when DeMarco Murray was hurt. But now, in a camp with McCoy and Brown, he's not going to get a whole lot of use, I wouldn't think. Like I said, maybe cut Bryce Brown's handcuff.
Yeah,
value.
I don't think you're handcuffing Shady McCoy right now, because I don't think you know who it's going to be. Had Jones gone elsewhere, I don't know where, maybe there's a little more value, because I view Felix Jones as a change of pace back. You look back in his successful years when him and Marion Barber were having some nice seasons together back, or was that Julius Jones? It doesn't matter. You get my point, but he's a nice change of pace kind of back. He's not a change of pace to LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy is a very similar back who just does it a lot better, so I don't know where James Jones, how about Felix Jones? I don't know where he fits in there necessarily. I think to your point with Bryce Brown with a handcuff, you wonder with the nice two games he had, I believe, but his willingness and love of putting the ball on the carpet, you wonder if Bryce Brown, if you don't see his name again.
Well, Felix Jones going to Philadelphia just obviously adds depth and creates a little bit of competition in camp. And that's about it right now.
Yeah, yeah. So nothing big there fantasy football-wise. I don't think you're drafting him unless LeSean McCoy gets hurt, and then maybe it's something you look at. So let's get to my favorite part of the NFL offseason, Rick, is the police blotter in the NFL. Seems to be the biggest news around the league. Let's start with Jimmy Smith, obviously retired a few years ago, but a solid NFL receiver, a solid fantasy receiver
definitely.
For a lot of years, heading to the clink for 6 years for cocaine and possessing a firearm.
Yeah, that's apparently the charge was possession of a firearm by a felon.
So this wasn't the first.
Apparently he has had
rodeo.
I believe he's had a cocaine charge in years past, and I guess he's just not going to learn his lesson because he was dealing with cocaine and guns and so forth, and 6 years in prison.
Well, and it makes you wonder if you remember back. I believe it was, correct if I'm wrong, was it 2008 he retired? The 2008 season, I think you can correct me if I'm wrong out there in the chat room. However, he retired coming off a 1,000-yard season, seemed relatively healthy, definitely getting up there in age, but he was healthy, had just had a big year, and then sort of surprised everybody by retiring. There was always a lot of speculation that he failed yet another drug test and was going to be banned or at minimum suspended. So it sort of gives credence to it, and you can see what's going on. It's a shame. You see these guys, all the talent in the world, had a great career. Do we make the argument probably the best Jacksonville Jaguar ever, at least in terms of pure numbers? I don't know if you want to throw Mark Brunell out there for a little bit. But
yeah, Fred Taylor, Keenan McCardell, they had a pretty potent offense for a few years.
Yeah, Fred Taylor you can make the argument for, but it's just a shame to see. And moving on, more currently, Titus Younger, has this ever happened to you? I know you partied pretty hard back in the 50s. Have you ever been arrested 3 times in 1 week, twice in 1 day, as a matter of fact?
No. You?
Well, no, certainly not. But I'm a model citizen. I'm thinking back.
I'm a model citizen. I'm a father of three, raised three wonderful children.
Well, you weren't a father of three in the 50s, though. You were a hellion, I hear.
I wasn't even alive.
Come on, you weren't even alive in the 50s. But Titus Young arrested 3 times last week. The first for DUI. Then I like this move.
I love this one.
Arrested for DUI. bails himself out in that very same day, breaks into the impound yard to try to get his car back and gets arrested again. That's just fantastic. That takes guts there. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and then the third one, I believe, is for assaulting or resisting an officer,
After being arrested for breaking into a home. What the hell is Titus Young breaking into somebody's home for? Being arrested for burglary just that much sooner. And then to make it better, if you're going to break into a house, I suppose you might as well take a cut at the cop and add a few extra charges there. So I think another young career wasted. Was this kid 23, maybe, at the oldest?
Yeah, 23 years old.
His dad comes out today and says this isn't his son. He has some sort of brain disorder. He's on antidepressants. Have to assume that's true. It's a shame.
Maybe he's possessed by an alien. It's not his son.
It could be.
Maybe it's not him.
You don't know. It's not possible. But I like these stories. I know a guy, Rick. These are the circles running. I know a guy who actually got 2 DUIs in one day, which I thought was pretty cool. He was doing some day drinking, and he got picked up on his way to the bar. Everybody was going to be at that afternoon. So they cut him loose, you know, about 8, 9 o'clock after he sobered up a little bit. We went and picked him up. We went out to the bar. Well, in perfect logic, when you're 21 years old, he just got arrested for DUI. He spent the afternoon in the drunk tank, so he sobered up. He's going to be the DD. So we let him DD, and, as DDs like him do that get DUIs, he drank as the DD and got arrested on the way home for the second time in a 16-hour span for DUI. So I always thought that was an impressive feat, but I think Titus Young has beat him here, clearly.
Oh, yeah. And, they're just no – and this is also coming from a guy who knows he's better – than Megatron.
Yes, he did state that. Well, you remember, Rick, back to last year, at this time last year when we were doing mock drafts, this is a guy everybody, including us, was drafting late and saying, this is going to be our steal. You know, being the opposite of Megatron, having the speed that the kid has. I had him on a lot of teams, especially in early drafts, before he just went completely off the rails. So, you know, presumably football career's over. It's a shame to see. Truthfully, all joking aside, I hope he can get it together because it's such a talented kid. It's a shame. It clearly there has to be more going on than him just being a common criminal, I would hope.
Yeah, he's a nut. I don't know.
He's a nut. I don't know. Rick, that's about it for the headline. Do you care that Jaws offered Tebow a backup quarterback job with his AFL team? Dude, do we go down the Tebow road again?
I don't think we're that desperate for
news. I would think Jaws would be that headline hungry. I'm actually surprised he came out and did that. But I think Jaws said we will make room for him is what he said. Tebow might have a future in the AFL, though.
Making room for somebody could be, you know, the guy handing him the water bottle.
Well, I don't think he's going to be a water boy. Do they have water boys in the AFL? I've been to a few AFL games. They put that team down in Pittsburgh. It's pretty low rent. It's fun to watch, but it's pretty low rent. I don't know. It's sort of like going to a game at your local rec league when you watch it. I don't know. Dennis Pitt assigns his tender with the Ravens. Nice tight end, but I think he's a backup. He's a bye-week replacement. Just not a lot going on, Rick, in terms of fantasy football.
Tell you what, Dennis Pitta, pretty solid year last year, and some of the ADPs that I'm looking at right now, he's been going about 7.01.
Yeah.
And that's a little high for him, I think.
Yeah, you're getting down. Your top guys are taken, and you're just throwing darts at that point. A touchdown guy. I worry about Ed Dixon being there.
Bolden's gone. They need a possession guy. Maybe he's going to be.
Could be. They work him more and more into the offense. It's certainly a possibility. I don't know, Rick, you got any other headlines?
Did hear one interesting story.
I'll be the judge of that.
Down in, apparently a lot of rich people don't like to wait.
Oh, of course not.
So, down at Disney World, for $130 an hour,
okay,
you can rent a handicapped kid.
Shut up, that's not true.
I'm serious as a heart attack. You can rent a handicapped kid.
How do you arrive at the price? How much is your handicapped
kid? That's what they charge, apparently.
Is it Disney World charging this, or is there some entrepreneurial guy in the alley behind Disney World giving you a handicapped
kid? Some service that's supplying handicapped people. And
they what I'm saying, do they have like a kiosk in Disneyland to rent a handicap? What do they call it? Is there a name? There's got to be a clever name to it.
I don't really know.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. Finish your story. Go ahead. I got excited.
Go down that road. But apparently you can hire a handicapped kid and pretend like he's part of the family. You go up to these lines that are 2 hours long.
True.
They put you right in. You wait a minute or two, and you get on the ride with a handicapped kid. And then you go to another ride. and wheel him around for $130 an hour.
Wait, for $130, you got to push the kid?
Well, probably.
I'm not doing that. If I'm paying that kind of money, I also get somebody push him for me.
Well, you're saving 2.5 hours of wait.
Well, that's true, but I think throwing another $50, give me a guy to push him. That's what I want.
Well, I don't know. I just find that interesting, and, you know, maybe with your bad leg, I was thinking maybe you could be some handicapped father down there.
All right, Rick, I wasn't going to admit this on the air, but I believe I did make the announcement back in December when I bought these. So we will talk about, obviously, you talked about you raised three wonderful kids. Well, I've got one kid, one daughter. You know, we've talked in the past. She gets way too much run on this show, but my child's affinity for one Taylor Swift. And if you remember when I made the announcement that I had bought those tickets where I drove all the way to Cleveland.
Did you go to the concert or when is it?
Listen, Rick, it happened a couple weeks ago. I didn't bring it up on the last show. I wasn't going to call myself out. But if we're talking about indignities, that's what I'm going to do in terms of handicap. So I thought I was out of it. I thought I was good.
You didn't put sunglasses on your kid and act like she's blind or something, did you?
No.
Okay.
That'd be a good move, though. Although I don't think you need special seating for being blind.
Well, maybe not.
Concert's more of a hearing.
Well, you can't hardly take a deaf kid. I mean, so.
I think you can. It wouldn't have near the same effect. But a lot of sensitivity on this show today. So I thought, you know, being Father of the Year, I bought the tickets, and then after I suffered this horrific injury and have heroically plowed through it the way I have, I thought that, you know, good news. So I did all that, so I get the Father of the Year points, but now I don't have to go because clearly I'm handicapped. I can't walk upstairs. You know, we're in the upper deck. I can't get up. My leg's out straight. I got this brace on. I can't bend it. I think I'm out. Well, unfortunately, it turns out, after a little research, not by me, mind you, then all you have to do is show up at the arena with your tickets, walk up to guest services, and they will provide you with handicapped accessible seating. So not only did I suffer the indignity of driving 2.5 hours to Cleveland, and you know Cleveland, Rick, and I apologize to any of our Cleveland listeners, but if the world ever needs an enema, Cleveland's where they're going to put the hose. So I drove all the way to Cleveland, had to hobble up on crutches to guest services, and sit in handicap accessible seating with these kids in wheelchairs who apparently, when they're not at Taylor Swift concerts, are being rented out at Disney World. And that's where I sat, a grown 35-year-old man, and watched a Taylor Swift concert. Probably the worst indignity I've ever suffered in my life.
Serves you right.
What does that mean, serves me right? For what?
I think we need to move on to what we were going to talk about tonight anyway.
No, I've got more before we get to that. Then what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well,
over and under draft.
We're going to try to hit on some overvalued.
We'll get to that.
Players.
We're only 15 minutes in the show. I got something that bothered me. This is I haven't been out much since this has happened. As you know, you've been coming to my palatial studio. So my first time back to the bunker in 2 months, and I'm driving up here. And three times, Rick, you can't make this stuff up. Three times, two on a major highway, or as major a highway as they get around here, and then one's right near your home here. I noticed I'm driving along 55, 60 miles an hour, and the guy in front of me stops to back into his driveway. Now, I noticed something about these guys, and you're old, you're a noted geriatric. Why is it that you old people have to back in, and you're willing to stop traffic on a major highway to back into your driveway? Why can't you just pull into the thing? I was furious. By the third one, I was pounding my fist off the steering wheel. And I've noticed this. It's only old guys like you. What is it with you old guys and backing into everything?
Do not put me in a category of people like that. However,
you are people like that.
No, I'm not. I don't back into my driveway.
However, if you were following me,
I'd stop and let you run into me, and I'd sue your ass.
Well, I understand that. But just a strange thing. I think we got a lot of people in the city. Maybe they don't deal with this. But we're talking the posted speed limit's 55. This dinkus will stop in front of you, back into his driveway, invariably misses it the first 7 times, so we sit backed up for 8 miles. Well, this idiot backs into his driveway. My father-in-law does this, and I've asked him. He says, well, then it's easier to pull out. But it was harder to pull in, so what the hell's the difference? That's the answer. I'm sorry. That has nothing to do with anything. It's just something that's bothered me.
Yeah, it did bother you quite a bit, obviously.
As he reaches for the soundboard. let me get that up for you.
I really wish you would. I mean, you're being the tech genius that you are. You're really slacking in your duties. But anyway, going into...
Oh, yeah, fantasy football. I tell you, here we go.
Well,
nice.
We did have a good question.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of liking to hit on our take by our buddy Ty Miller, Ty in St. Louis, on Twitter. And he's kind of curious on...
Speaking of people we know,
the St. Louis Ram,
the Road Warrior
situation.
Thinks we've lost our minds, is what he said on Twitter. I like that. It's true. We have finally lost our minds.
Okay.
I thought
all
we were
right.
going to avoid this.
Yeah, so you know, we're holding back, where I can see what you're writing about the Caps here, pal, but you're out on Twitter writing stuff about us. All right. There you go. Gloves are off now, bub.
Is that bub? Did you just call him bub? I'm guessing he's done rocking the red, however, I take it.
But, well, yeah, I can imagine not a whole lot of rocking going on. But the St. Louis running back situation, who's going to emerge?
Oh, okay, now, I mean, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're looking at the Darrell Richardson. Obviously, Isaiah Pede was highly touted at the beginning of last year that he was actually going to be taking work away from Steven Jackson.
That was the talk. Never came to fruition.
Not turned out Darrell Richardson got most of the second work, albeit nobody really got a whole lot of work other than Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
Richardson got about 475 yards last year. And, Pede got very little work. But, they're roughly the same size. So, I mean, it's probably a lot of competition right there. But then we also have, the rookie Zach Stacy out of Vanderbilt.
He's getting a lot of run now. He's become the Isaiah Pede of this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lot like, MJD, maybe 5'8", 216, 220, something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe a little smaller.
Yeah, but... a little smaller. I still like Richardson, to be honest with you. I know I'm probably in the minority when it comes to that. I think it's his job to lose.
Yeah.
Jackson's gone, so it's totally up in the air. I see that. But I like Richardson. I like what he's done. He's been about just a shade under 5 yards of carry last year, albeit not a lot of work. Pede, didn't get much work. So... I guess it's up to Stacy. If he can supplant Richardson, I still think it's Richardson's to lose.
Yeah, that's what I had to believe. That's my first play. I certainly don't know how this is going to shake out. There hasn't been a lot of talk. We're barely through mini camps, and certainly we haven't gotten to camp yet. I would think, based on last year, Richardson, when he was spelling Jackson or when Jackson was hurt, it was Richardson who got those carries. One thing I know about Coach Fisher, He doesn't strike me as an RBBC kind of guy. He's rode one horse, mainly Eddie George, then into Chris Johnson. He identifies that running back, runs the offense through that running back. So I think as I look at this roster, as I look at these three guys, there's that other dinkus from the Jets, that former backup for the Jets. I can't even think of his name now. I think he's a non-factor in all this. So, Darrell Richardson last year, when guys like us, in the fantasy community especially, but maybe, other NFL experts too, there was a lot of talk of Isaiah Pede being that number two, and you hit on it. They were talking about him taking work away from Steven Jackson. He didn't see the field. He hardly saw the field at all. So
he had 10 rushing attempts last year.
So I have to believe that was for a reason. I would be surprised unless something changes in the offseason, changes in camp, where he would supplant Darrell Richardson for those starting reps. So then you have the rookie. That's the great unknown. You just don't know. He's kind of a small guy. It depends on how he fits into the offense, truthfully. So I think if I'm drafting now,
he's shorter stature, but he's got about 20 pounds on both Pede and
that's
Richardson.
True. Yeah, but Richardson has shown some home run ability. He had that 50-yard run against I'm blanking on the team now. I'm picturing the run, but he had that big run. So he's shown a little bit of that. I think, could the rookie beat him out? Certainly it's possible, and I think it's Richardson's job.
Anybody remember Doug Martin?
Yeah, it precisely. So if I'm drafting now, I don't know why I'm drafting now for a team I'm actually going to play, but if I am, I'm liking Richardson as number one, probably Stacy at two and Pede. I just think with all the hype coming in last year, unless something dramatic has changed, he is viewed as being behind Richardson. So as long as Richardson there, he's behind him. Stacy, with that size, I don't know what his speed's like. I'm not a draft nick and certainly don't know a lot about Vanderbilt. If he's a speed guy, maybe you're looking at more of a change of pace kind of guy with his side, maybe a goal line kind of guy. That's how I think it would shake out now, but certainly come late July, this could all change.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm just off the top of my head, I'm thinking Pede's the RB3 on this team right now. I really like this Stacy kid.
Maybe they bring in Ahmad Bradshaw or they bring in Michael Turner. You don't know.
Oh,
you know,
no.
We got a long
exactly.
way to go. Maybe none of these guys are the guy.
Yeah, it's hard to say. But it should be interesting, you know, as it unfolds.
Yeah,
I mean,
certainly. It'll be something to watch because it's going to have a lot of fantasy impact because the coaching staff there, they are a run-first kind of offense. Most running backs in Fisher's employ, that was good, I like that, in his employ, have success. They get the ball a lot. He coaches with a feature back, so whoever becomes that feature back certainly has some probably number two RB fantasy value.
In his employ. You were awful
employ.
Proud of that.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, I think we know what this episode's going to be named. Spoiler alert. I don't know what that means, but all those chick shows say that, so I want to say that.
I
spoiler alert.
In his employ. And you're impressed with that line.
I am. That sounds smart. That sounds really intelligent. You didn't know I was that smart, did you?
Oh, my God.
What?
You don't know anything.
Yeah, Rick had to work a little overtime today.
Oh,
so
here's something
grumpy.
We talked about last week.
We're all over the place today. I think Dave was right. You owe him an apology, by the way. Tell Dave you're sorry. You're not sorry about the Capitals, but for calling him bub.
I'll just order, the most popular drink in D.C., the Ovechkin. How's that?
Well, here, come on, give the punchline.
Huh?
Go ahead.
I think we all know.
Oh, wait a minute. I was
going
to say, what's the Ovechkin?
Yeah. How funny you should ask that. It's a white Russian without a cup. well, what are you going to do? Where's the soundboard you need?
I'm playing with others. I'm on Twitter here, unfortunately, and it's shared.
But, you were talking about Lacy last week.
Yes,
you know,
and he's going to come up later, as a matter of fact.
How you really, you're really on top of him,
Well, be careful now.
And
well, it's a radio show, Rick. You have to keep talking. I meant nothing untoward about that. You have a dirty mind. I think we're just giddy to be back in the bunker studio, back where we're comfortable.
Oh, my God.
The shows are worse, but we're having more fun anyhow.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun. I'm actually laughing.
There it is,
a little delayed to your joke,
but I finally managed to get it.
You're really excited about him going into that Green Bay system.
I am,
and
we're going to talk about that later.
Okay, you can hit on that. I'm just, you're talking about you actually had him at 12 right now, and they got Jonathan Franklin coming in.
Jonathan Franklin. Who's Jonathan Franklin?
Oh, God. They drafted him.
He's out of UCLA. That's fine,
right?
But they drafted Eddie Lacy as well.
Oh, God.
He's from Alabama, I believe, if we're just naming people's colleges. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Make your point.
The point is, you said you had him at 12 right now, and I was just briefly running down through running backs. Peterson, Charles, Richardson, Foster, Spiller, Rice, Chris Johnson, Jones, Drew, Lynch, Martin, Alfred Morse, Matt Forte, Steven Jackson, Steven Ridley. I got all these guys over Lacy.
Yeah.
There's no Green Bay back that is that.
For that, and again, we'll get into this later. Well, we'll use this to transition in. No, let's not do it. Let's just finish this. Out of that name, the list you threw out there off the top of my head, because my memory's so good, Ridley, I'm not buying. Lamar Miller, I'm going to have to see it. Steven Jackson. Jackson's interesting. His name's going to come up later as well. Certainly over Forte. Was it last episode? I'm done with Forte. I'm done talking about him. You brought up that amazing stats about Matt Forte.
I'm raising a caution flag on him, that's for sure. But
Morris, I'm nervous about. Chris Johnson, I'm still nervous about. I like him. With seeing nothing in camp and not knowing what his role is going to be, I'm assuming he's going to be the featured back because there's no one else there other than this Joe Smith guy you just brought up from UCLA.
God.
I'm thinking he's going to be the feature back. I know.
I apologize for ignorance.
ignorance. First of all, go ahead. All right, Rick, let's get into the segment because I don't want to use up all my material. I don't have that much material. I didn't do a lot of prep.
Why don't we just start with that? We're basically covering I came up with five guys that I thought would probably go into the fantasy draft overvalued, and Rick came up with five guys that he thought was going to be undervalued. So why don't you just take it away, Mr.
Right.
Undervalued?
Well, it may be a big surprise to you, but my first one, what I based it on is I'm looking at early drafts, and I know a lot's going to change between now and the last week of August when you should be drafting in your redraft leagues. But looked at went to myfantasyleague.com, looked up the ADPs across all formats, every kind of format, and just saw where some of these guys were falling. And I pointed out the five or six guys here that I think were going too low. And number one was Eddie Lacy going number 60. Right now you can have him at the 60th overall pick on my fantasy league. And all the arguments I made, and I'll finish the point I was making. Here's my argument for him. You got, what'd you call that guy, Benjamin Franklin there out of UCLA. He's in town, and apparently he owns Lambeau Field, according to my esteemed colleague Rick Briggs. However,
they're both rookies.
Cedric Benson's gone. You got seven guys named Mo in there that nobody cares about. He's going to be the feature back. Now, I'm willing to grant you that as that feature back, he's not going to get 25 carries a game in that Green Bay offense. However, in the role he plays, I'm going to use the same argument. You remember that episode where you screamed and pointed at me for 40 minutes about Cedric Benson? I'm going to go back to that and make the same argument for Eddie Lacy. In 20 carries a game in that offense with that play action, with the deep threat that they have, I think he's going to have a lot of success. They like to run the ball down around the goal line. I see this guy as a borderline low-end number one, certainly a high-end number two, assuming he doesn't get injured, assuming, you know, rookies, you always have the danger of not assimilating into the NFL. But from what I've seen of this kid, I love the fit. He's the one rookie who went into the very best situation, and I think this guy at number 60 overall is a truly being undervalued and being underdrafted.
It very well could be. I'm just not sold on a Green Bay back right now. I mean, I'm just looking back just in their system. Now, you go back basically to Amon Green before you really had an RB1 coming out of Green Bay.
Yeah, you had a few guys for a year.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Grant had a year and so forth. Right.
James Starks 2 years ago, at least towards the end of the year, started to emerge and then remembered he was James Starks and sort of reverted back to where he was last year. But what we're talking value here, even not putting him in that upper echelon, Rick, is I look ahead. The last running back before him was Frank Gore at 47. Jury's still out on Frank Gore. He's going to give me a lot of heartburn come August. I don't want to say much about Frank Gore. Just ahead of that at 46 is Reggie Bush. Really, Reggie Bush, not only ahead of this kid, but 14 slots ahead of him. Who the hell's drafting Reggie Bush 46th overall?
Apparently quite a few people, if that's his ADP,
yeah,
which is, you know... Yeah, I mean, I would certainly had him up on some of my overvalued list here, to be honest with you. I'm not sold that he's just going to be the guy. Joyke Bell certainly looked good last year. I think he had 63 receptions.
If I'm not mistaken, LeSure's still in town, and he seemed to get the bulk of the carries last year.
And let's not forget, I mean, yeah, Reggie Bush has been healthy the last couple of years. I'm not going to say that he's an injury bitten guy, but I don't know. I'm not sold on Reggie Bush. I agree with you there, that's for sure. And, you know, I would probably go Lacy over Bush. Of course, it has to depend on camp, but right now I tend to agree with
certainly.
You there.
And explain Lamar Miller to me at 42, and you had him on that list. You had him at 15, which is probably about where he hits here. What has Lamar Miller ever shown you? Why are we getting all this Lamar Miller love all of a sudden?
I just know love for him. Why?
I'm just asking. He's up ahead of Eddie Lacy. That's where I'm making my argument.
Oh, yeah.
That he's undervalued. I'm going to have a harder time making the argument he's a top 12 to 15 guy. All right? You can argue with me on that.
Yeah.
Don't tell me he's overvalued at 60. I'm thinking Lamar Miller's overvalued at 42. I'm not ready to trust him yet.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But the story on Lamar Miller is right now he is a clear number one. And obviously a starting running back, you know, carry some value. You really don't know right now about your Bush and Lacey and so forth. That would be my, you know, explanation that way.
All right, well, we beat poor Eddie Lacy to death, Rick. Why don't you give us someone who's being overdrafted right now?
Okay, I'm just, you know, probably take some heat for this, but I'm not jumping on this bandwagon right now. Right now, he is going 6.01, and, you know, he passed for 1,814 yards last year. He went to the Super Bowl, Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
He had 10 touchdowns, but, you know, he had 4 in one game against New England, and that's 40% of his touchdowns. He did not throw over 250 yards in a game last year. I know he's young and he just started, and I'm certainly not saying the kid's a bust. I'm just thinking that in the sixth round, I mean, I'm in mock drafts, and I've been getting Peyton Manning in the seventh.
Well, Rick, that's the point I'm going to make. And we're going to merge our list together. The second on my list is going 61st overall, and it's a man whose name you just mentioned is Peyton Manning. And you have Colin Kaepernick right now with an ADP ahead of him. It's surprising. I'm trying to find real quick where Kaepernick's going. You had it there. I have him at 49 overall. If I'm sitting there, look, is there a lot of upside to Kaepernick? Yeah, probably, with his ability to have a 100-yard rushing day and a 300-yard passing day. I just, Rick, I'm not ready to take that risk. But when I can have, to your point, when I can have Peyton Manning in the seventh round, I'd feel much more comfortable with that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's my point. I'm certainly not bashing Kaepernick. I just think right now he's a sexy pick, and people are jumping on him. And, you know, he's young and he runs a lot, which scares me too. But, you know, he's still a young kid. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Peyton Manning, he's got the offense. He's another year in there. He's got Demaryius Thomas. He's got Decker. You know, they beefed up the running game a little bit. You know, I like him. And obviously he's Peyton Manning, and I like him a lot better than Colin Kaepernick going into this year.
That certainly doesn't hurt him there. So let's play a little game, Rick, of the guys I see. Rather than going through, we all know who Peyton Manning is and what he's capable of doing. We can have the discussion that he didn't seem to be able to throw the deep ball as well as he had before the injury, but he's still Peyton Manning. I look at the guys ahead of him. Obviously we have Kaepernick. Go ahead and give me Peyton Manning every time. How about Peyton Manning or Matt Ryan, Rick? Who's going ahead of him?
I want Manning, to be honest with you.
Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck, who's going ahead of him?
Manning.
Peyton Manning or Cam Newton? That one's a little tougher.
That's real close there. I still probably, if it was to me, I'd probably take Manning. Just, you know, maybe it's just because, you know, playing fantasy football so long, you're comfortable with a Peyton Manning, kind of like a Drew Brees or Tom Brady, so forth. Until somebody dethrones, you know, the Rodgers, the Bradys, the Peyton Manning, and the Drew Brees, those are probably my top four guys. I got Cam Newton at 5, and I got Peyton Manning at 4 in my quarterback rankings.
I might, depending on how the rest of my draft has gone and as late as we're drafting quarterbacks this year, I might, and I've never been a big fan. I looked like a fool his rookie year. Looked a little better in years after that. I'm starting to get on the Cam Newton bandwagon a little bit. When I get to that situation, if I like the rest of my team, knowing I can probably get a capable backup in the likes of an Andrew Luck or something like that, or the way RG3 has fallen, I might take a risk on Cam Newton. But as a general rule, I think I'm going to feel more comfortable going into the season with Peyton Manning at the helm.
Yeah, I mean, I like that a little better myself. I agree with you 100%.
All right, Rick, well, we'll go on your list since I tied my second one on my list into it. So who's the second guy you're seeing be overdrafted?
I'm going right now at 8.09. 49 receptions last year. He had 12 games under 5 receptions. He only had 3 games the whole year over 50 yards. He's getting much slower. And, I mean, this guy used to be a stalwart performer, you know, Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
In the 8th round, getting Antonio Gates, I think, is a waste of a pick.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say that late in the 8th round somebody's being overvalued. But you really wonder, when you talk about the top tight ends in this league, unfortunately, I don't think Antonio Gates is that guy anymore. And we talked about it a lot last offseason. We thought he was going to drop off. One of those rare things we managed to get right, or at least I did. You probably argued with me because you're not that smart. But, you know, at 8.09, there's got to be – Tony Gonzalez come back. You can get him down there. There's guys, better guys you can get. You know, again, I'm not the guy who's going to go after Jimmy Graham or Gronk, assuming he's healthy, which is looking less and less likely going into next season. You know, I'm waiting until that eighth, ninth round before I'm looking for a tight end. And I agree with you, Rick. I don't think Antonio Gates is going to be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, he very visibly, especially last year, I mean, he was plodding out there. And, you know, I mean, 49 receptions for Antonio Gates is, you know, that's not what you're expecting. You can get 49 receptions out of just about anybody anymore.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's move on, Rick. We still got 20 minutes left. We got all kinds
good
of time. Another guy I think is being overvalued. I hit on it a little bit already.
Under.
What I say?
Over.
Same thing. Anyhow, another guy I think is being valued incorrectly. Is that work for you?
Okay.
Is Frank Gore dropping all the way to 47. Gut feeling, Rick, and I know people don't listen to these shows for my gut feeling. Nobody cares what I think, really. They want to see some analysis. I think he's got another year in him. We put him out to pasture two straight years now, and he hasn't gone away. That San Francisco team just keeps getting better. I like Frank Gore. When you're talking 47, you're what, right at the end of the fourth round?
Fourth round, yeah, before 11, I guess.
Here's why I say he's being undervalued, because I have my second running back by the end of the third round, by and large, unless you have some wacky scoring league. I've got my two running backs before the first three rounds are over. Frank Gore is a clear number two running back to me. So if you're getting him at the end of the fourth round, that's a steal, and I think he's being undervalued.
Yeah, Frank Gore is, you know, continues to impress. I mean, he was running awesomely last year in that Super Bowl run. You know, is he going to start tailing off, or is he going to have that year and, you know, crash after
I
that?
I don't know.
I mean,
I think his workload is going to go down as it did a little last year, but I think it's going to benefit him.
Yeah.
You're not going to have him break. And this is how it is. Where you see these guys just fall off the table, Sean Alexander, some of these guys, it's when they're the guy. If you're a part of a tandem, and really even if you don't have a tandem, as much as Colin Kaepernick's going to run the ball, his workload's going to be reduced. When his workload's reduced, I see that he still has a skill, he still has the speed, still has the power, the willingness to play hurt, everything he brings in a reduced role, I think adds to increased success. It's going to happen to me in a lot of leagues, Rick, because this is a guy I'm targeting. Because of the value I'm going to get him at, I'm going to have him as my number two running back in a lot of places. So I'm going to live or die by Frank Gore, and I can really give you nothing more than gut feeling. I think he's got at least one more in him. But like I said, we've put him out the pasture twice, you know, two straight years, and have come out with egg on our face. And I'm going to give him one more year.
But he hasn't shown the signs of really breaking down or slowing down. Like, you know, i.e., we just talked about Antonio Gates, who is visibly much slower and it's really showing up on him. Frank Gore hasn't shown that. So, you know, I'll have to go along with that. But, you know, moving on to – and some of these ones that I have aren't the highest-ranked people – but that's where you're drafting your team, is down in the middle rounds. And, you know, sometimes, you know, your team can be, I mean, you can win a league or lose a league in those middle rounds.
Oh,
and that's why I'm hitting on a lot of these. This guy here right now, his ADP is 6.06. He missed six games last year, 44 receptions, 633 yards. Yeah. I just don't trust Pierre Garçon. And, you know, it's not that, you know, no, I'm not drafting him to be a star, but when you're drafting in the sixth round, you're going, depending on how you drafted, for a WR2 or a flex. And, yeah, you're going to get a couple of good, you know, some good games out of him, but I do not trust him. You know, six games last year with that toe, and he scares me to death.
Well, there's the injury risk, certainly. Here's my problem, and when I take him in the sixth round, boy, I don't really know. It's going to depend on how it's going and what wide receivers are around him. For six or seven games at the beginning of the year, when he was RG3's number one target, it was downright scary what he was doing. He was putting up some numbers. He was putting up some fantasy player of the year, sleeper pick that wins you your league type of numbers before that injury came along. Got the talent. You know, we always wondered, we speculated in last offseason that what he would do sans Peyton Manning. Sans, I like that too. I've got good stuff today. This is radio gold.
Yeah,
but
they're pretty nice sayings you got.
I don't think you meant that. But
why would you say that?
What?
I mean, it was very sincere.
It was very derivative is what it was.
It was very sincere, and you know that.
Derivative, you like that, too. I'm like, this word of the day, toilet paper, is really panning out for me, I got to tell you. But anyhow, looking at Pierre Garçon, assuming RG3's healthy, assuming Pierre Garçon's healthy, he's a solid play week in and week out. A guy like RG3 being his favorite target, he put up some numbers, some stupid numbers. A real deep threat. Late, early sixth round, maybe a little early, but Rick, I'm not sure that I consider him that overvalued. I can see why he scares you, but I'm not sure I see him as overvalued.
See, I just, look, I mean, okay, last year he had a game, 4 catches, 109 yards and a touchdown. Good game. That was the first game of the year. Game 2 and 3, I got his stats right in front of me. Nothing. Game 4, 1 catch for 20 yards. Game 5, 3 catches, 24. 6, 7, 8, 9, nothing. A bye week, the 11th week, 3 catches for 5 yards. 12 weeks, 4 catches for 86 and a touchdown. He did come on somewhat, 13th, 8 catches for 106. And it's 5 for 83, 6 for 65. It scares me to death, man.
Yeah, I can see it. I like the chemistry he has. But I will agree, early in the sixth round, there's got to be a better alternative out there than him. So let's move it back, Rick. Another guy I'm thinking being overvalued, getting more towards the top of the draft. This is a guy, I hope I'm not buying into the hype. I love this Atlanta offense. I love what they're doing. I love the whole team that Atlanta's putting together, really making a run for a championship this year. Bringing in Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson going about 40th overall in my fantasy league drafts. I don't know how undervalued he is, but again, you're talking, where are you talking there? Middle of the third round. Again, so here's a guy I'm talking about as my second running back. I like Steven Jackson. Here's a guy you said you have over in Eddie Lacy and a lot of other guys. Steven Jackson, I'm excited about what he can do this year, and I think that late in the third round, I'm excited, and I'll take Steven Jackson there every time if that's where he's falling.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I mean, you know, Atlanta's bankrolling on some veterans, that's for sure, trying to get that title. And, Steven Jackson keeps himself in great shape. He's had some good years with some bad teams in St. Louis. He's now with a very potent offense. He wants to win a championship. He's a great teammate. I think he's going to have a great year myself. And as we get going, I think you're going to see his ADP rising. And I think people are going to realize that he's going to be a pretty good pick.
Yeah, no question.
And you may not get him where you want him.
That's what I'm thinking. That's why I think right now these numbers are showing him being a little bit undervalued.
Right. Okay, now I'll talk about overvalued, and of course we beat this dead horse to death. But averaging,
hold on a minute, hold on.
Now that's an intelligent comment. You want to have some witty sayings. That's one right there.
We beat this dead horse to death.
You got it. Now that
I've heard,
now
we
that's witty.
I've heard we beat the dead horse.
That's worthy of
I've
like
heard
a song lyric.
I listened to that song, I can't lie.
I'm serious. I tell you, I'm going to call Dylan or John Prine or somebody. They may maybe get that into a song.
I've heard Beat a Dead Horse. I've heard Beat It to Death. I've never heard anybody before Rick Briggs. What's the date? We need to mark this down. What's today's date? May.
National Chicken Dance Day.
National Chicken Dance Day is also the day Rick Briggs managed to beat a dead horse to death.
You got it. And now that's a classic.
All right, go ahead and beat that dead horse.
He's averaging 3.04 right now, ADP.
Okay.
Running back.
All right.
Okay, so you're thinking, okay, well, 3.04 is pretty good
value. Place for a running back.
Last year, you know, we were talking, hey, relatively healthy year. He still missed 4 games. He did have 300 plus games, 100 yard plus games, but he also had five at under 50. He only scored two touchdowns. I think you know where I'm going with this.
I think I do, but go
ahead.
Your
boy Darren McFadden.
My boy Darren McFadden, my boy. Rick,
I tell you what, I would not. We talked about this, I think it was in the last show or maybe the previous one. I can't remember. I tell you what, end of the third, I can't go any higher than right now, the end of the third for him.
Yeah, I don't even.
No way.
Rick, I don't even know if I go that high. If you're at the end
exactly,
of the third,
I'm saying
you're talking
that's
your
high.
You're talking your second running back. Look, if he could put it together, if he was healthy and on a good team, I'm telling you, Rick, from what I see in this guy, he could be the best fantasy football player overall in a long time, is what I see in that guy. Bad team. He's got the injury risk. I've taken the risk three of the last 4 years. It's bit me. It's cost me playoff runs. It's cost me championships. It's cost me weeks on end. I'm just done. Look, if he's sitting there in the fifth round, which he's not going to be.
No.
Because somebody's going to draft quarterback receiver early, and you're going to start reaching for these second-tier running backs in the third and fourth rounds. Fifth rounds is the soonest I'm thinking about taking him. And if it's my fifth round, I'm looking at my third running back. I'm looking at my flex option. I'd be happy to have him there. I'm just done. I give up. I'm the dead horse that's been beaten to death again with this guy. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to touch him that early, third round.
That's why I have him at overvalued, because top of the third round is way early for this guy.
Yeah, two years ago. You know, if you're talking about getting him at this point in the third round, I'm going to sign me up. I can't wait to take it. But at this point, Rick, I agree with you 100%. I'd fifth round at the absolute earliest for me.
All right.
Is the show over? God, we got 8 minutes left. This is terrible.
Oh, it's great, man. I still got stuff to talk about.
Yeah, talk away. All right, Rick, let's move on. I'll give you somebody else I'm thinking is going a little too late for where they should be. Let me slide through here. Rick, here's a guy I find interesting. I don't know where I'd take him, but Wes Welker right now going 44th overall. So what are we talking there? Late fourth round. You're talking, what, 4.8?
Yeah, about 4.8-ish. 8 or 9, something like that, yeah.
This guy, I know you're breaking up the band. I know he's not with Tom Brady anymore. If you're in a PPR league.
But he's not with Christian Ponder. He's with Peyton Manning.
That's my point.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're in a PPR league, can you name, if you're talking fourth round, can you name 8, 9, 10 receivers you'd rather have than Wes Welker?
Yeah, without really sitting thinking about it, of course, Calvin and Brandon Marshall and Roddy White. I'd probably take Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, Ed Green. Yeah, probably Dez Bryant.
I'll just go to the ones above him, Vincent Jackson or Wes Welker. I know your man crush for Vincent
Jackson.
Yeah,
but in PPR, I'd probably have to go Welker.
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald.
Boy, I'm starting to really like Larry Fitzgerald
I am. Actually, I had him on the list, Rick, and I didn't read him because he's up to 33rd already. So you're talking, you know, what's that, middle third round. I think he's still higher than that for me.
It's Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah. And, you know, look, I mean, Carson Palmer isn't the Carson Palmer a few years ago, but we saw what he did in Oakland last year. I mean, he can get it. He can still throw it for the yards, and they didn't have Larry Fitzgerald in Oakland.
Exactly. How about this? Wes Welker, Hakeem Nicks? That's not even close for me. That's Wes Welker.
Oh, yeah.
And Wes Welker going several spots behind Hakeem Nicks. Roddy White. I think I got Roddy White over Wes Welker. Michael Crabtree.
Oh, Welker.
Victor Cruz. I'm skipping over some of the honors. Now, here's one I hope's on your overvalued list. If not, I want to put him on your list. At 23, Randall Cobb. Give me Wes Welker over Randall Cobb. I'm not buying into Randall. Randall Cobb at 23.
I'm buying into Randall Cobb.
Late second round.
Well, yeah, I mean.
I think there's too much risk for late second round. The 11th pick in the second round. Too much risk there for me.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there. I mean, I'm going to go Welker there like you're talking about. But, yeah, I'm buying, you know, we're talking about, I mean, you're talking about Lacy in that Green Bay system. I mean, let's face it, we got Greg Jennings out of town. Randall Cobb's in that system. Yeah, I'm buying into Randall Cobb.
Boy, the way they spread the ball around last year, though, with basically Jennings wasn't there last year and Cobb didn't put up the, you know, look, Randall Cobb was being talked about a number two receiver last year. He really became the sexy pick going into last year's season. Had some nice games, had some big games, but by and large, in my opinion, was a disappointment. I think you what you see is what you get with him.
Yeah, I'm just liking Cobb better because I don't see James Jones as a touchdown machine as he was last year.
Well, I don't think he leads the league in touchdowns.
I think that balances out. Well, all of a sudden, you know, you start throwing Cobb a few more touchdowns, that elevates his value. Am I buying into the second round like you said? No, I'm not. However, you know, I certainly think that he's worthy of a fairly decent pick, yeah.
All right, fair enough. So then we get into your Dez Bryant and some Brandon Marshalls, oh, yeah, which there's no conversation there. But so really, out of that six or seven guys, I name maybe only two ahead of Wes Welker, so I think a steal at 44. 5 minutes left, Rick. Let's close it out. Would you go ahead and give us one more guy?
You're gonna love who I think this one is overvalued.
Okay, you're gonna make me mad with this one.
The guy's got potential. There's no doubt. I mean, you're talking about showing a lot of potential. You know, he had 663 yards last year, four touchdowns, threw in 35 receptions. He missed six games. Felix Jones is out of town. Yeah, you know, I don't really think that's really going to make a lot of difference because it's the injury risk that affects me with DeMarco Murray. Right now, he's at the beginning of the third round.
Yeah, I want nothing to do
with
him.
And, you know, if I'm at the beginning of third round,
Your boy. This has got to hurt you.
Yeah, it is.
That's
the official running back of the asylum.
I disagree.
From a couple years ago.
That was Jackie Battle, I believe, was the official running back
of
the
asylum.
That was yours,
yeah.
Well, that was a damn good one.
But I think early third round, I think you're pushing, I don't know, I think you're pushing your chips all in a little early on DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, I'm not a Murray guy. Look, he's interesting. In short spurts, boy, he's looked like one of the top backs in the league, certainly a strong, strong fantasy producer. Can't seem to stay healthy, can't stay on the field. And when healthy last year, just disappeared at several times. This is a guy in at least one league I had as a number two running back last year, and he killed me. He really did. He ended up spending some time on my bench later on. So, you know, DeMarco Murray's a guy. I like that Jones is out of town. I'm not even sure, Rick, if they brought anybody else in of note. I don't think anybody big time to compete with Kerry. So he's going to get those number one carries. I just wonder if he can stay healthy long enough. I think that team tends to like to get behind and fling the ball around 55 times a game. Yeah, Murray, again, third round, you're talking your number two back. I'm not ready to have DeMarco Murray as my number two back this year.
No, I'm not either.
Eddie Lacy or DeMarco Murray?
You know, well, I tell you, you know, that's tough. I mean, they're right there to me.
It's not even close for me.
Let's
look at the guys just around him. One spot,
stupid.
Well, that's fair, but I don't know what that has to do with any of this. One spot behind him, DeMarco Murray or MJD? Well, what of MJD?
Oh, MJD.
I'll take the chance with MJD as my number two. I could pay for it.
If there's other freaks in the NFL like your Peterson and Charles, I think this is one guy that can come back after a significant injury like this and be effective.
Could make you untouchable if he pans out. You don't want him as your number one, but if you have a solid, and I'll tell you what, if I draft him as my two, I'm coming back within the next round or two and getting a third to hedge my bet a little bit. But MJD's a guy I'm going to be willing to take a chance on, and certainly over DeMarco Murray. How about Stephen Ridley, several spots behind Murray?
Oh, Ridley. I'm taking Ridley ahead of him.
Still a little nervous about Ridley, but
I'm nervous about Ridley, but it's not
you.
Due to injury. I know he's going to play. You know, Ridley was putting up some big numbers last year, albeit inconsistent. If you can live with the inconsistency, you know, I'll take Ridley every time over Murray because, I mean, he's been just as inconsistent with injuries and the way Dallas spits and sputters around sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'll go with Ridley with that case.
No doubt. I agree with you 100%. Rick, well, somehow, Rick, we have managed to kill just about an hour here. I don't know how we did it.
Yeah. I mean, what can you say? We're just, you know,
just
all these witty sayings.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
I brought that game. So we had handicapped kids at Disney World. We rocked the red today. We Taylor Swift, as we always tend to get into the show. Old men backing into their driveways. National Chicken Dance Day. I don't know what else anybody could want from us, Rick.
I know. Well, next week, We're going to have to tone it down a little bit. We have a guest coming on next week. So,
Who's the guest?
Steve Gallo. He's an NFL analyst. He's IDP writer for USA Today.
Periodical of note.
See him on Twitter at Steve Gallo NFL. He's coming on next week.
You don't think Steve will be down for our antics?
I don't know.
All right, we'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll take that temperature. So, Rick, well, let's get out of here. 30 seconds left. We appreciate everybody coming back. Sorry for the layoff. Thank you for all the well wishes out there for both me and my family. I saw a lot of that on Twitter, and I definitely appreciate it.
They wanted your family being better,
yeah,
but they just
wanted
to whack your leg off.
Yeah,
and,
they don't
you
care
know,
about
get that
me.
Thing over with.
Yeah, so definitely appreciate that. We're back. Going to be back on a once-a-week schedule. No, I'm definitely comfortable with that now that we're back in the comfortable bunker studio that clearly makes us go a little bit wacky.
It's, you know, it's an old house. There's probably a lot of karma in here.
Yeah, a lot of ghosts, too. I believe in ghosts.
There's no
ghosts
such thing as a ghost.
All ghosts are real.
Well, no, they're not.
We'll talk to Steve about
that. Show me one. Call him up. We'll talk.
We'll have a seance.
Do they play fantasy football?
If they're smart, they do. All right, Rick, we've got to get out of here. Thank you to everyone at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, at AsylumFootball on Twitter. What else do we got? 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the rock. Thank you to all your locals. Until next week, BTRFF.com. Kellogg's comments are coming up next.
Yes,
until
sir.
Next,
and don't forget to listen to Taz.
Yeah, check Taz out, too, in the chat room today. Thank you for that.
Yes,
we will be
everybody,
back.
Yep.
We'll be back next week. Until then, we'll see you.
Take care. Yeah, we're cracking up ACDC, hey.